Well, I'll tell you something about myself. I don't like coming second, okay? I don't even like coming third. I like to be the best. Amen? Don't you all want to be the best?
Yes.
And we try to be the best. Hallelujah. Okay? That's why there's so much rivalry between the different branches of the military, because they all think they're the best. Right? Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So we won't start strife here by saying which one is best, right? But we all know which one is best. It's the one you are in, right? So we like to be the best. And we have the best in Christ Jesus. And we have the best in us. God living in us, Christ in our hearts. That's the best of the best. And we come to Him and we love Him because He first loved us. And His Word says, Romans 8:32, if when you were a sinner, God sent His Son to die for you, know that you're in the family, what else would He and His Son not give you? What else would He not give you? He would give you everything that is necessary for life and godliness. He'd give you everything because you're blessed with everything you need, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's all been paid for. God has purchased and prepared for you and me things, most of what He's prepared for you and me, we can't even conceive of what it is. It's infinitely beyond anything we dare ask, hope, or think. But we want to take a step in that direction. And I'm sitting at breakfast with the president of this other company, and he's going to buy my company, and we are talking about transferring over the assets and the employees, and I'm trying to make a point. Now, some of you can chew gum and walk at the same time, right? Sometimes I get so focused that chewing gum is all I can think of, right? And the walking part, you know, kind of have to take care of itself. And I was so focused on making my point that I'm there, you know, preparing my breakfast. And I noticed everybody went very silent and everybody's looking at me kind of strangely. So I knew something was a bit different. So stop, what am I doing? And I looked at him, and the man, his name is Paul. Paul says, tell me something. You always have your bacon and eggs covered in syrup. And I looked down and my bacon and eggs were floating, literally floating in syrup. I was trying to put it on the pancakes, but I wasn't doing that. My bacon and eggs were doing the backstroke in the syrup. So I laughed, okay? But let me tell you, I don't recommend having your bacon and eggs covered with syrup. It's not the best way to eat bacon and eggs, okay? But learning to laugh at ourselves, not taking ourselves seriously, is one thing. But we need to take ourselves in Christ Jesus very, very seriously. We need to understand that Jesus went to the cross and suffered terribly for us to pay for everything that we need. And you've all bought gifts for people. And let me tell you, if you went out and took your hard-earned money and took your precious time and went shopping and bought a nice gift, shopped around, went to several stores and found the perfect gift for this person, bought the right paper and the ribbon and went through the whole thing, buying it, taking it home, wrapping it, preparing it, putting a nice card, and giving it to the person, and 2 or 3 years go by, and the person has not opened the gift, you would not be pleased. Am I telling you the truth? You would not be pleased. Well, Jesus purchased for us innumerable gifts, and we want to give Him the courtesy of opening them. And so we're starting a series called Living a Justified Lifestyle. Living a Justified Lifestyle. Today is part one, and part one is the process of justification. The process of justification. Next Sunday will be part two, the process of redemption. The process of redemption. It's very simple to understand what justification is. As babies, we had not committed any sins. As babies, we had God's Spirit in us as babies. We hadn't sinned, and we were in right standing with God, and the baby was living just as if it had never sinned. Now, it's not quite that simple, because, of course, the baby has to live with the sins of its ancestors. But the baby unto itself is living as if it has no sins. That's what Jesus did. He lived as if He had no sins, because He had no sins. He never sinned. We, on the other hand, at an early age, we all chose to sin. We were tricked, deceived, we sinned. So because we were in sin, we were no longer in right standing with God. We no longer had fellowship with God. And we could not live as if we had never sinned because we had sinned. Adam lived as if he never sinned until the day he sinned. And all the time he was living until he sinned, he was justified with God. He was in right standing with God. He had fellowship with God. Nothing could harm him. Everything was wonderful. He had a calling in his life. But he came to the point where he decided, my wife is more important than God's command. So he did what his wife said, and he sinned. And because of that sin, death entered the world. And death reigned from Adam until Moses. When Moses came in, we got the law. And the law reigned until Jesus came, and then we had grace. And grace will reign until the millennial period. Then there will be no more grace. Most of you never heard that before. In the millennial period, there will be no grace. The millennial period will be as it was with Adam. Adam wasn't living under grace. Adam was created with dominion and authority over everything. He didn't need grace. He was in right standing with God. He had never sinned. He was God, small g, over this earth. When he sinned, he gave his birthright. Actually, he wasn't born, right? He's created, right? He gave his created rights to Satan, right? And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, Satan then became the god of this world. Satan became the god of this world. So when people say to you, oh, you believe in God, so if there's a God, how come all these terrible things are happening in the world all the time? Why does God allow it? God isn't allowing it. You and I are allowing it. Because Jesus came, defeated Satan, took all the power and authority, and gave it back to us. And now we have what Adam used to have. We have authority and dominion over everything that moves up on the earth. So we are supposed to be upholding the victory that Jesus executed over Satan and the world of darkness. We're supposed to be the standing army, the ambassadors of heaven. We're supposed to be the one keeping the peace on earth. The problem is the church has kind of sunk into this groove where they think, praise God, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, the rest is not important. That's really terrible. It's really a great lack of understanding of what the Bible is all about. Yes, it's wonderful to be born again. Yes, it's wonderful to be going to heaven. That's great. But that was just a drafting into the army. That was just a drafting into the military. That's when the boot camp starts and then the battles. Being born again is not supposed to be an ending. It's a beginning. It's the beginning of eternity. It's the beginning of living the calling upon your life and my life. And people say, I'm a Christian. If I sin, my sins are forgiven anyway. God created all this. Doesn't he expect us to enjoy it? Frankly, this is an aside comment. Maybe it's facetious, I don't know. God didn't create it the way it is for you to enjoy it. He created the way it was for you to enjoy it. The way it is today, my word, you get a nice piece of fruit and you wonder, I wonder what is in this fruit? Exactly, right? How can you enjoy a fruit really when you don't know what's in it or who did what to it? You can enjoy the things of life. I'm not saying don't enjoy it, but understand it's a poor reflection of what God wants for you and what you're going to have in the future. Have a little bit of a perspective on that is go to Israel and compare our fruits to the fruits in Israel. And let me tell you, the fruits in Israel don't compare to the fruits where God wanted it. But at least it's a big quantum step upwards. You know, it's fun to go to an Israeli market and walk along and just see the fruit. Not even eat them, just look at them. Am I right? Not to mention the ice cream stores. Woo! And make fruit ice cream. See? To me, I'm very simple and very strange, I've been told. You know what I love to see in Israel? The two things in Israel I want to see. The empty tomb and the ice cream store. Okay? So all this around us is a poor reflection of what God intended. But because Adam sinned, then we all got stuck with a tempter who was the God of this earth until Jesus defeated him. And so we all sinned. So we had to go through a process of justification. Okay? So what is justification? Justification is the act, process, or state of being justified by God. God justifies us. He puts us back in a situation where our relationship and our fellowship with him has been restored. He does it. The word justify from Webster is to prove or show to be just, right, or reasonable. So we justify something when we prove or show or be just, right, or reasonable. Also from Webster, to judge, regard, or treat as righteous or worthy of salvation. That's from the dictionary. To judge, regard, or treat as righteous or worthy of salvation. God has justified us, which means God sees us and judges us as righteous and worthy of salvation. The ABC definition I use is justify is just as if you never sinned. Just as if you never sinned. God sent Jesus to justify us, to restore us, to put us back where he intended us to be. That God created Adam, mankind, for fellowship and for a relationship where we would be his children. And Adam is called a son of God. In the genealogy of Jesus, in Luke, it traces it back to Adam, which the Bible says, the only place in the Bible, Adam, who was a son of God. We are created to be sons and daughters of God. And when Adam sinned, and when we sinned, we took ourselves out of the family of God, and we ended up in the family of the devil. And God sent Jesus to die for us, to justify us, so we would be restored in relationship and fellowship with God. So this is something God thought of. This is something God did. All we have to do is believe it and receive it. So, Romans 8:33. Your justification comes from God. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Clearly, it is God that justifies. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. So it's from God and it's free and it came through the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:9. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So justification is not simply a matter of putting you back in proper relationship and proper fellowship with God. It's a matter that because we're now justified, we're saved from the wrath that's up on the earth. We're saved from the challenges up on the earth. Justification is the beginning of your being saved from the challenges on the earth. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. And such were some of you, sinners of one sort or another, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Justification comes from God. It's a free gift. All we have to do is believe it, receive it, and have faith in Jesus Christ and his blood. And then understand that once we're justified, we can live as if we never sinned. And living as if we never sinned saves us from the challenges and the wrath upon the earth. Part C, justification is received through your faith. Through your faith. What is your faith? Your faith is simply believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, believing in the Holy Spirit, believing that the Word of God is the Word of God, and that God will keep his promise. What God says he'll do, he'll do it. When you believe that, and you live according to what he says, then you're walking in faith. To the extent you believe God's word and speak it and act on it, to that extent you're walking in faith. People who don't read the Bible, they have faith for their salvation. And that's about it. You can't have faith for a promise that you never heard of. Your faith is bounded by your knowledge. Your knowledge creates a boundary. Here are all the things that God sent Jesus to do for you. Within this boundary of things that you know by knowledge, which one are you going to believe, accept, speak, and do? That is, which ones are you going to have faith for? So some churches read the Bible. And some decide, well, yeah, Jesus paid for my healing, so they believe in healing. But they may not believe in the prosperity scriptures. And they may not believe in the rapture scriptures. And they may not believe in the millennial scriptures. And they may not believe in the scripture that says you can do all things through Christ Jesus and you're more than a conqueror. They may have read it, but they may have been meaningless to them, or they may have rejected it. So their mind may have knowledge of the promise, but their heart has rejected it. And the question is, which of the promises of God are we either blinded to or we have rejected? Understand that God does not use exaggerations. You and I might. What's that expression? Evangelistically. Okay? Elastic. Evangelistically speaking. Okay? It's exaggerating for God's benefit because God, you think God needs your exaggerations. Okay? So, God says you're justified. Just as if you're in a sense. You're in right standing with God. You're worthy of salvation. And salvation includes every single thing you need. God says you're worthy of it. God says you and I are worthy of everything in our salvation package, which is why he sent Jesus to die to put everything into the salvation package gift box. He says you're worthy of it because you can now live as if you never sinned. Now, when Jesus lived without sinning, what bad things happened to him? The answer is nothing. Nothing bad happened to Jesus until he said, no man take my life. I choose to lay it down. What bad thing should happen to you? Know that you're justified. And the answer is nothing. Nothing. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and no evil shall befall them, and no plague come near dwelling place. For he shall give his angels charge over them to bear them up, lest they even dash their foot against the stone. Nothing evil, nothing wrong should occur to you or to anything pertaining to you, because you should live as if you have justified. So what's the problem? The problem is that we keep sinning. So we are justified. Sins are washed away, but then we sin tomorrow. No, here we understand that when we sin, we wash away the effects of the sin by confessing our sins. But in that tiny time span between when you sinned and when you washed it away, there's an opening for the devil to fire a fiery dart through it. No, can we live without sinning? Absolutely. We've been justified. If you still fully don't comprehend the fact that you're justified, try this. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Can you desire not to sin and ask God for it? You know, that may be a good starting point. Lord, I don't want to sin anymore. Help me not to sin. Or Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. Christ, dwell in my heart and help me to do only that which you want me to do. If you can think it, you can pray it. But even if you can't think it or pray it, Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do superabundantly above all you dare ask, hope, or think. Infinitely, above all your desires, thoughts, dreams. So can we live without sinning? Absolutely. The reason we think we can't is because we want to sin. We want to tell people a piece of our mind. We want to act hurt and offended. We want to hit back instead of turning the other cheek. We want to do things our way and not God's way. But the goal, the wonder of it all, you've been justified. Just as if you never sinned. What a wonderful thing. That Jesus died so you can live the way he lived. Which is why he says, the things that I do, you will do, and greater. Why? Because you've been justified. And the enemy has been defeated. Because you're justified, you can do the things he did. Because the enemy has been defeated and is under your foot, you can do greater things. Part C. Justification is received through your faith. If you believe it, if you speak it, if you do it, which starts with, do you want it? Romans 3:30, seeing it is one God who justifies the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith. Whether you're circumcised or not, it's the same God who's justifying you. Galatians 3:8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All nations are blessed because every single person on earth, because of Abraham, all nations have the opportunity. Every person have the opportunity to accept Jesus and be justified. Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We're not justified by our works. We are saved by grace. We're justified by faith. Faith is believing it because God's sending it, and we believe it, we accept it, we speak it, and we do it. We are justified by faith. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Your works don't justify you. But because your works don't justify you, your works can't remove your justification. So when we sin, and when we do things that are ugly, justification still belongs to us. Now, we may have opened up a window so the enemy can attack us. And so we're not living with the blessings and the benefits of being justified because we're being attacked, because we opened the window. But we are still justified. It still belongs to us, and we can still cover ourselves with it. See, when we're justified, our spirit is recreated. We're born again. Justification occurs one time. It's like your salvation package. When you're born again, you get your salvation package. When you're born again, you're justified. When you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live in your spirit. And you're given a robe of righteousness. And this robe of righteousness covers you, your spirit. The process of walking in the blessings of your justification can be thought of as a process of taking your robe of righteousness and extending it all over your being. So the righteousness that's inside us, the Spirit of God inside us, we are allowing that to work outwards. So the robe of righteousness is over everything that we have, every cell, organ, and system, all our works, and all the things we say. Galatians 3:11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. It's obvious. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. The just are those who are justified. The justified shall live by faith. We are saved by faith. We are justified by faith. And we need to continue living by faith. To continue to live by faith, we continue to need to know the Word of God so we can hear the promises and the directions. So people who don't read their Bibles have a difficult way to go, for they don't see the roadmap. The Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It's the light that's telling you, here is where the justified go. Here's how you act. Here's how you speak. Here's what you do when you want to live as if you've never sinned, when you want to live justified. When you want the blessings of living as if you had never sinned, this is the way you go. The Word is your roadmap. Let's go to part D. Receiving your justification starts inside you. So justification is the process whereby you're made worthy of salvation. You can live as if you never sinned. It's the free gift of God that comes to you through your faith and starts on the inside of you. First, you must believe it in your heart. Then you must speak it with your words. And then you must act upon it in your life. So believing in our heart. Let's look at Romans 4 verse 3. Romans 4:3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted on him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Abraham could not believe in Jesus dying from and being raised from the dead because Jesus had not yet died and been raised from the dead. But Abraham believed God. And Abraham believed God to such an extent that the Bible says his faith was counted as righteousness. He was justified by his faith in God. Just as you and I are justified by our faith in what God did for us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9. If you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. That's the process of accepting your salvation. That is a process of becoming justified. And when you do that, your spirit is born again, and the entire salvation package becomes available to you, and you can move into the right to that salvation package by continuing to act as if you've been justified. Continuing to walk as if you had never sinned. Continue to believe it. In other words, taking the robe of righteousness and spreading it outward. The more you have faith for what is in your salvation package, the more you believe it, the more you speak it, the more you act on it, then is the more the salvation package becomes real in your life. We put it this way. If you learn about God as Jehovah Rapha, and you believe that God is your healer, and you accept it, and you speak it, and you do it, you start to get healing in your body. You start to be living just as if you never sinned, in the area of your healing. 1 Peter 1:16. Therefore, determine in your heart to be holy, for God is holy. But you know, for most of my Christian life, I wanted to be holy. I was trying to be holy, but I never determined in my heart that I was going to be holy. Most of my Christian life, I never thought I could live without sinning. I thought, hey, I'm a man. I'm of mankind. Don't want to give the ladies that out here. I'm of mankind. Therefore, I'm going to sin. But finally started to dawn on me. The Word of God says, be holy. God wouldn't tell you to do something if you can't do it. Isn't that true? God says, be holy, for I am holy. If God says you should do it, it means you can do it. Galatians 3, 1 verse 3 says, you couldn't start this journey of salvation by yourself. It had to be faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you could not start it by yourself, if you couldn't save yourself, how then can you hope to purify yourself and become perfect by yourself? God wants us to live as if we never sinned. You understand that the Bible says that if you sin, you become a slave to that sin. God doesn't want you to have any Lord but Him. Every time we sin, we are bowing our knees in idolatry to a false idol. Whether it be anger, sexual sin, backbiting, offense, pride, whatever it is, we are bowing our knees to it. God says, no, no, no. Keep your eyes in me. Cast all your cares on me. Believe my word and determine to live as if you never sinned. But ask me to help you do it. You know, I'm willing to make a bet. As wonderful as you all are, as much as I love you all, as much as this is a wonderful congregation of people of great faith, I'll bet you probably three out of four of you have never asked God, the Holy Spirit, to keep you and help you never to sin again. Not just, Lord, help me not to punch my neighbor in the nose again. Not something like that. But just also, Lord, help me never to sin again. And you know why I never did it for a long time? Because there's sins I wanted to do. Isn't that true? I hear some of you laughing, so I guess I'm not the only one, right? But you know what? I don't want to do any sins now anymore. All I want to do is be a vessel for the Lord. I've learned not to take myself seriously, and so I've learned not to take my sins seriously. All I want to be is a vessel for the use of my Creator. Isn't that what you all want, deep down? See, we've all been tricked by the devil. Jesus died, so you're justified. You can live as if you never sinned because you have been justified. He did it. It's a done deal. Jesus died so you don't have to sin. The question is, will you believe it, and will you speak it, and will you do it? So, D part two. Justification is spoken with your words. Matthew 12, 37. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. In other words, Jesus paid the price for every single person to be justified. It's all paid for. He paid the price for every single person to be saved. It is the will of God that none should perish, but that all should be saved. In other words, God wants every person to live as if never sinned. God wants everybody to live as a first step. As a first step. He wants us all to live the way Adam lived before the fall. God doesn't fail. God put man on earth to live as if they never sinned, because they never sinned, and to have dominion over the earth. He never changed his plans. He sent Jesus to get the plan back on track. So now we are justified, and now God is saying, live as if you never sinned, just like my son Adam. And that is just the beginning. I told you, salvation, as we view salvation of being born again and going to heaven, is just the beginning. He wants us to get back to what Adam had. The first Adam was not as great as the last Adam. No matter what Adam did, Jesus, once and for all, wiped it out, removed it all, put us back the way we were, and gave us something way, 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 way better than what Adam had. That's what the Bible teaches. You've been justified, just as if you never sinned. See, if Jesus did not do away with everything that Adam did, then who's going to do it? There's only one price to be paid. It's only paid once. It's either done, or it's never going to be done. And it says, Jesus, once and for all, paid the price that you and I would be perfect. Perfect. Book of Hebrews. Once and all, He paid the price that you and I would be perfect. What's perfect? Living just as if you never sinned. Justification is all over the Bible, all over the New Testament. That's what He paid the price for. But when we put the word perfect in it, people kind of get bent out of shape. Well, that's what justification means. God created you to be perfect and restored you to that. That's why it's called justification. Can you see somebody hobbling into heaven before God covered in leprosy? No. What do we have in heaven before God? People who are perfect. Is that true? So do we think that the spirits are perfect in heaven? The bodies aren't perfect because, with the exception of Enoch and Elijah, as far as I know, all the others have died in their bodies. And their bodies have to be changed. But the day will come when God will come back. The Word of God will come back as King of Kings. And the people who have never died are going to stand before Him. And the Scripture says, as He is, so are we. We're going to stand before Him. You think we're going to stand before Him covered in leprosy, with arms and legs missing? Jesus paid the price that no matter what the challenge is in your body today, it's been paid for. And God wants it healed and restored. Want you living just as if you never sinned. Hebrews 10:14 says, once and for all, Jesus paid the price that we should be perfect. Now, I was saying that Jesus paid the price for every person to be born again, but people are going to hell every day. Jesus paid the price for us to be justified, but people are going to hell every day. Now, every day, people accept Jesus. And when they accept Jesus, they accept Him by their words. And by their words, they move into their salvation. They confess Jesus as Lord, and they become saved. They move into their salvation package. They move into their justification by the words of their mouth. And so their spirits are now recreated. Their spirits are born again. The Spirit of God is in their spirit. Their spirit is covered with the robe of righteousness. And now God is saying, now take that. And by your words, as you continue living, you shall be justified. You can live as if you never sinned by the words you choose. Why? Because your words guide your life the way a rudder guides a ship. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. The words we speak guide our lives. Matthew 12:34. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bring forth good things. An evil man bring forth evil things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm trying to instill in your heart. Your understanding is that you're justified. You're in right standing with God. All your sins not only have been paid for, they've been wiped away. You're dead to sin so that you can live without sinning. And the way you live without sinning is to believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. And a good starting place is to ask God, help you to live in the power of your justification, that you live without sin. Then we can start seeing the blessings of living without sin. So the recommendation here is, affirm 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Every time you sin, you get up, confess it, declare, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You will lose the impact of sin in your life. You will lose your interest in sin. Your desire to sin will go away. The power of sin in your life will be broken. Romans 2:13. So justification is acted out in your life. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So justification doesn't come by your works. It comes by faith, by believing. But when you're justified, and when you start to believe your justification, then your works start to change. And as you do works that are godly, more and more the blessings of the justification comes to you. So we're justified by faith, not works. But once you're justified by faith and you believe it, and you start to act on the works, the blessings of the justification comes in your daily life. So the justification requires speaking and doing for the blessings of the justification to come in your life. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Would you see Christians living as if they're not born again? I mean, there's a time when I backslid. And if you saw me and saw what I was doing, you might have thought I wasn't born again. But if you stopped to talk to me, for any length of time, you'd know that I am born again. I wasn't changed. Nothing I believe had changed. just that my works had changed. I chose to sin. Not just once in a while, but for a period of time. I was still born again. But I was not living as if I was justified. I was not living taking my robe of righteousness and bringing it outwards. I was not living in the blessings of my justification. I was living as a carnal Christian for a period of time. So James 2:24, you see how then, using Abraham was justified by his faith in God. But his works include, among other things, the fact that he was willing to sacrifice his son. No, he didn't have to do it in reality, but he had already done it in his heart. For 3 whole days, he walked around going to the place of sacrifice for 3 days. For 3 days in his heart, his son was dead. He had killed his son in his heart for 3 days. And God gave him credit for what he had done in his heart. Rahab was justified by her works. She believed in the God of Israel. And because she believed in the God of Israel, she helped the spies. And she was saved. She was not killed with the rest of Jericho. Romans 6:11. Therefore affirm, in the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus my Lord. See, when I say I reckon myself dead to sin, there's two sides to that. One is, all the sins I have committed have been paid for. So when you reckon, which is an accounting term, when you reckon, when you count up all the sins you have, the answer is zero. You reckon yourself dead to sin. All sins have been paid for, so it's zero. But the other part of it is, when you reckon yourself, when you count yourself dead to sin, it means sin can't dominate you. Sin can't force you to do things. The power of sin has been broken in your life. Future sins don't have to be happened because you're dead to sin. When you're dead to sin, you don't have to respond when it calls. You know, the expression dead means no stimulus, no response. Nothing moves it. You're dead to sin. You don't have to go when it beckons. But the starting point is in your heart is, Lord, help me to live dead to sin. Which is the same as help me to live as if I've never sinned. Which is the same as help me to live justified. Which is the same as help me to take the robe of righteousness and move it out from my spirit so it covers my entire being. And then just as Jesus walked without any challenge hitting him, so you and I can walk without any challenge hitting us. You know that as you look at the problems that have come up in you over the last few years, every one of us, you can see over that period of time the things we've done that we know we shouldn't have done. Isn't that true? And God is saying, you don't have to do them because Jesus paid the price, so you don't have to do them. If you choose to do it my way, if you choose to die to self and live for me day by day, do it my way, your life would be better than you have ever imagined it because you're living as if you never sinned. And the glory of God will flood you and will change your life to levels you never even dreamed of. I'm not talking about sacrifice here. I'm talking about rising up in love and power and glory into the calling that God has put up in your life. You know, when I got saved, I never in my wildest imagination dreamt that one day I would have the temerity to stand up in front of a crowd of people and lead singing a song. When the Lord told me after many years that he was going to make me a praise and worship leader, I was going to lead praise and worship, I laughed. I knew exactly how Sarah felt. I laughed. I thought, I was a dude who was kicked out of choir. I'm in high school. I'm 11 years old. I'm surrounded by all these guys who are years older than me. And they're my friends and my peers, and I'm trying to act like their age. Mature 12 and 14. Okay? And I go into choir, glee club, to join because they were all going. I've never sung a song in my life. And a man of like 80 or 100 students, he calls me, kicks out one person, me. You, get out of here. You're a monotone. Can you imagine that? I don't know the guy did it. I mean, I was just quietly back there, just awful. You've all been at these places where you've been humiliated and embarrassed. Well, I never sang before, and I sang even less afterwards. I never sang. And then God says, I'm going to make you lead praise and worship. And then after a while, I realized maybe he meant I'm playing the music. But now today, you see, I actually lead songs. The question is not how wonderful it sounds. The question is that I can do it. You understand? I mean, I have sung on more than one occasion in small churches, small locations. Well, two come to mind where the people started crying. I'm the only person singing and they started crying. And when I told the first story once, one said, of course, they were all crying in sympathy. What I'm trying to say is, for me, that was a wonderful thing. For each of you, there are wonderful things that God wants to do for you that's beyond what you ever imagined. And it all comes to understand you're justified. You, all your sins have been paid for. You can live as if you never sinned. You can have a life that's a life for a person who's never sinned. You have been restored back to what Adam had, the life that Adam had, and the authority and the dominion and the freedom from sin. You've been restored back to that and a whole lot more, which we'll talk about next week. You have been justified. It's the past tense. When your justification was paid for on the cross and when you accepted Jesus, you received that justification. Now all you have to do is start speaking it, believing it, and act. Walk around thinking, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm an adult in the family of God. I have no sin. Satan, you can't touch me. Nothing can harm you because you are free of sin. You are free of sin. Nothing can harm you. You don't have to be afraid of riots, of police, of military, antichrist, demons, devils, evil spirits, war, nuclear war, radiation, poison, snipers. You can live as if you never sinned. It's your choice. I have made the choice. I don't want to sin. Everything that was paid for me in my salvation package. I want to live as if I have never sinned. I want to live a justified lifestyle. Each of us has to make that choice. And Jesus put it this way. If you die to yourself, if you lose your life, you will find it. I'm dying to the old me. I'm dying to self. I'm losing my life to live a life justified. And God will give me things that are beyond my comprehension. The benefits of your salvation. Titus 3:7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have been made heirs. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Everything the Father has belonged to Jesus, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We own everything that God has. But if you can't believe that you can live as if you never sinned, how can you believe that everything that God has belongs to you? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have become new. You're becoming a creature that has been justified, a creature that's free of sin, a creature that can do anything, a creature that's a mature adult in the family of God. And all things are of God. That's what I just said. All things of God. Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. If we have all this, it all belongs to us. Why don't we go to heaven and enjoy it? Because he's given us the ministry of reconciling people. Telling people that God is angry with them. That they've been justified. That they've been redeemed. That they can live as Adam used to live and better. And better. That they have all authority and dominion over everything that moves upon the earth. Look at Boko Haram. I've been reading about Boko Haram for maybe 2 years, 3 years. Not once in that 2 or 3 years did I ever see Boko Haram get a defeat, lose a battle, or lose hostages. For 2 or 3 years. Not once. And we prayed about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. School of Dominion, we prayed, okay? We prayed. And what happened? Within the first month, they start getting the stuffings beat out of them. They've lost battle after battle. They've even lost the city in which they got started. And there's a coalition of African nations coming against them now. And the United States has gotten into the act and is providing weapons and surveillance. They've lost hostages. They've been driven out of places. Never before we prayed. You think it's a coincidence? I don't. I think it's because you've been justified. And you are one who has authority and dominion over everything that moves upon the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of heaven, and we have all the power of heaven behind our ambassadorship. Understand that? Behind our ambassadorship. Heaven is there to back up what we say. And the more we live as if we are justified, is the more the power of heaven is there to back up what you say. We're ambassadors of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus to be sin for us. He became sin. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God. We want to take that righteousness and put it throughout our entire being. That every cell, organ, and system lives as if it has never been exposed to sin. Live with the life of God in it. Live with the righteousness of God in it. Live with the glory of God in it. That the glory of God floods us in every cell, that the glory starts to come out around us. Just as it did out of Adam. Just as it did out of Moses. That's what God wants. 1 Peter 2:24. The benefits of our justification. Who himself bore our sins in his body in the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. That's the reason he took our sins on the tree. That we being dead to sin because we're justified should live unto righteousness. Jesus died so you should live unto righteousness. That's why he died. So you live unto righteousness. You live unto righteousness, so righteousness floods you from the inside to the outside. And you live as if you never sinned. And then when you do that, the benefits of your justification started coming. If you never sin, then you can't be sick. That's why it adds, as a footnote, by whose stripes you were healed. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. That's where we are, the justification part. Past tense. And whom he justified, he also glorified. That when we walk in the blessing of our justification, and the life of God floods every cell, every organ, every system, and the glory in it starts to come out, then we start to move into that glorified body that resembles Moses, that resembles what Adam had. We move into that glorified body. And that's why the scripture says, as he is, so are you on earth. Understand, he left and left us here to enforce the victory. He left in a glorified body, and he's a first fruit. And all of creation awakes for the redemption of our bodies as that glory floods every cell in our body and changes it. Amen?